Alexa Bliss garbage. I just don't like. And then I still hate the Eva Marie Dewdrop horse shit they're doing. So, but especially when they had a 3-minute match and Asuka lost in 3 minutes. I know it was a tag match, but goddamn.
And that was shocking. Like, yeah. there were a couple of things that I kind of, yeah, that was what, because I think I watched a majority of Raw and then caught some highlights, but that, I knew about the result before I saw the match, so, I was just like, oh, so Naomi got pinned again, was essentially the thought running through my head. And then I saw Asuka get pinned, and I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, that was my thing, too. Like, and they've done a pretty good job of her not losing lately.
Yeah, you know, aside from her too many losses to Rhea Ripley, I don't know if we got up to 12 or if it was just 7. Yeah, they've done an okay job of keeping Asuka clean. Mm-hmm. outside of those high-profile ones.
Yeah, and it'd be fine if it meant, like, Piper Niven. I'm not calling her Dewdrop, sorry. It'd be fine if Piper Niven was going to get a push as, like, a monster. Like, holy shit, she just beat Asuka that quick. And Eva Marie kind of acts scared of her or something. Like, I have to keep this one in line. You know, some comes of it, but we both know nothing's going to come of it. Piper Niven gets upset because people were talking about her body, like her figure and all this. That's the exact storyline they're running. So how can you get mad at somebody, like, talking about, you know, the outfit's not flattering? You know, and some people obviously are just like, well, you're fat, whatever else, right?
Right.
But that's it. Like, Eva Marie looks down on her. That's the whole point of the thing. Because she looks the way she does. She won't let her talk because she's not worthy of talking. She doesn't even get to say her own name. Eva Marie names her name because she's lesser than. That's the whole point of this, but they're just the same goofy shit where they, like, Jake Atlas, who I still don't know if he's gay or not, but they keep talking, like, hyperbole with him. Where Eva Marie just kind of dodges the whole thing. Like, well, yeah, Piper Niven's, like, overweight. Or whatever.
Well, that, and that part was almost the part. The Asuka loss part of the match was shocking. The Eva Marie announcing herself as the winner, and then Piper Niven already acting like she was ready to split from Eva Marie. I'm like, the fuck is... Like, you explained more about the psychology of what's going on in that relationship than the WWE has done on TV so far. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that it's coming, but it's just like, guys, we need... investment in this before they break up. Like, they can't be breaking up their third week on TV.
See, okay. I understand where you're going with that. I don't disagree. But at the same time, I do think they could. Like, I kind of like the idea that Eva Marie comes in, she's talking, like, and all of her promos were basically done in, like, you know, what is it, like, not body shaming, the exact opposite of body shaming. But basically, you know, she's bent down. She lost her job. She went and achieved her goals. Now she wants to help other people achieve her goals. Yeah. That was like the whole crux of her whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she's still the same bitch she was before. So, like, putting Piper Niven in this, like, they don't have the writers, or they don't have the editor, which is basically what Vince is. They don't have the editor to actually do this with any subtlety.
Oh.
Like, if this was the 90s, she'd be sitting there going, ugh, look at you. No, I'll do, I know. That's
yeah.
That's why Eva Marie's winning. You know?
Well, I saw the, I didn't read the person's article, but the second that I saw a picture of Piggy James, I knew exactly where they were going with the article.
Yeah. And yes, well, remember, this is way back when we were young, but Uncle Elmer and, oh my God, who did he marry? Bobby Heenan is just calling her fat and inbred and all this stuff.
Oh.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the 80s, you get away with whatever. And in the 90s, the, you know, the Attitude Era, Jesus, okay. But.
Well, like, and.
The one that actually kind of deserved it was Luna Vachon, because that was her character, like the weirdo and.
Oh.
Well, she didn't deserve, but, like, Jerry Lawler basically calling her ugly and whatever else. I mean, that's just whatever. But
yeah.
Compared to the other women that were on that roster, yeah, unfortunately, you were the bottom. Like, there's not saying there wasn't an audience for you, because there clearly is. We all know what Pornhub is. But, I mean, that's just the facts of stuff. So, to get to this, and, like, they're trying to do another skinny girl, fat girl thing without coming out and saying it. And then the other thing is that has never been Piper Niven's character until now. Her weight, her size, her whatever was never addressed. It was, she's a wrestler. And I think that's why this bothers me so much. Like,
uh-oh.
You know, this garbage bullshit about women's evolution. It's better, but come on.
I laugh every time I go into Google Chat, because I think I must have erased all of our, or I must erase all of our chats, because I still see that message from 2 years ago that says the women's evolution can fuck off or something like that, because it was at some point where they, you know, they started to destroy it themselves. Even almost immediately when it happened. So the fact that we're still basically in something of a hamster wheel of that evolution, like, they've certainly gotten more time. I'm not sure that their characters have gotten any more time in general, because again, like, yeah, like, Eva Marie shot all of her preview videos by herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, it's a fun swerve the first week that the Piper Niven comes in and destroys Naomi. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm okay with a quick breakup, but they don't have any reason, like, there still isn't any reason for Piper Niven to be with her.
The only reason is to make Eva Marie look better. That's with air quotes.
Right.
Because I'm trying not to tear her down to build Brenivin up. It's the exact opposite thing you're supposed to do. But if Eva Marie had blonde hair, she'd be champion right now. Hands down. You don't, the genius would clearly have her as a champion because he has his type. I think Chris has said this before. This is one of the only things we really, you know, Chris and I really agree on. Like, Vince has his things.
Oh, yeah.
And if she was blonde, which I don't even know, honestly don't know what hair color she used to have, like, all those years ago. I really don't remember.
So, yeah. I am unsure, honestly, myself.
Yeah.
Nor do I really care.
And it's like, the Eva Marie character works just fine. Like, if she was just going to be a bitch, you know, just go for it. Don't do the subtle crap, because they're not good at it. At least the writers on Raw are not good at it. So have her go, no. If you look like me, you do all the work. If you looked like me, you'd find somebody that did all the work. Something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, well, to get back to the quick breakup thing, I wouldn't have cared, because Piper could have been like, I was wrestling for the NXT UK title. And now I'm playing lackey to you? No. And just bug off, and that's it. And Eva Marie can go and try and find somebody else.
Oh.
That may be a thing to do, too. If they want to introduce new women, I mean, unfortunately, there aren't a whole lot of women on the roster that look like Piper Niven. You know, if they're going to go in this thing, unless they're like, she brings in, I'm trying to think of someone off, like Mercedes Martinez, they bring her, no, Mia Yim, bring her in. What was her name? What was her awful name?
Reckoning.
Sure. So, she'd be like, and then she could even say, well, I see you're trying to be like me because you're blue hair or whatever else. And Mia Yim walks out on her. So right there you've established two strong women. Like, I'm not putting up with your shit. I don't need you.
Yeah, that would be a fun gimmick. But to go back to the not having any faith in the WWE creative to do something like that. Sure. Yeah, I have zero faith that they're... Because they do desperately need something like that to happen, you know? I mean, they've... taken enough women off of their roster, and honestly, even before all these cuts hit, they needed more bodies. I mean, we've talked to, you know, whatever combination of us have talked about it recently, that I think we said that there's only like 11 women on Raw, which is, I guess, enough, but they had single digits on SmackDown. You know, like, how do you have single digits? You know, they need to introduce new women, and I mean, that it would be an awesome, fun, creative way where if they establish some pattern like that, that'd be fine. But again, like they didn't establish that Piper Niven only came over because of Eva Marie's good graces. Like, you know, they're kind of ignoring that whole NXT UK part, which, you know, I guess could kind of work for the gimmick, but they still haven't done any groundwork to, you know, again, to start the gimmick, if that's the way they'd go.
I don't know. We spent far too much time on this nonsense. I always hate when we do this, by the way. Because we put more thought into this in this conversation alone, let alone last week's, let alone the week before we first introduced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, you always see these design, like, for, like, these biographies or behind-the-scenes things, you always see, like, these designs they wrote, they worked up. Like, the Icons, series with Lex Luger is going to be July 4th, I think. Is it debuting or July, maybe?
Yeah.
And they show the mock-ups, all this. I guarantee you, none of that was done for Piper Niven. Maybe for Eva Marie. But even then, I doubt it. Like, anyways.
Well, I mean, they did at least somewhat try it. Like you said, I thought they did do a good job of establishing Eva Marie's character. But it, you know, herself, with the video vignettes.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know, they, again, just not to bury this point 6 feet deep, there's nothing there with her and Piper Niven. Just absolutely nothing. Like, this is just my hired gun is kind of, but, like, they gave more
that
weight.
That would make sense, actually.
They honestly gave more information about Omos and AJ Styles to even come with a, you know, a very recent kind of a mystery person pops up, a, you know, to be the heavy for an established character. And even though Eva Marie hasn't been around, she's an established character, and at least they're definitely treating her that way too.
Yeah,
like, they at least said associate, and, like, they treated Omos like a human, at least. Like, Piper Niven is just not getting shit on, but, like, Omos being made irrelevant within the angle itself. Like, it's...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess...
I like the...
Your point's right. Like, we've already put 15 minutes more into this than the WWE has.
And that's not like my wheelhouse. It's still NXT and AEW. Like, AEW's Friday show I thought was pretty good. Tonight's, I only watched the first part while we were recording. I thought the opening match was pretty damn good for a change, because Penta wasn't saying Zero Piero, whatever, at least seven times in a row before he does a move.
Anyway,
we'll talk about that next week.
You know, I've noticed that actually the last, since he's been back on AEW TV, I have not noticed that habit as much. Like, it was.
He did it a couple times today.
Did he?
But it could also be because I'm sensitive to it, I guess. You know, I really don't like it. I don't mind every once in a while, but I mean, dude, I think I counted. He did it 27 times in one match. That's enough.
Yeah,
so I get on these weird obsessive things and just can't do it.
Right? Well, it did. I didn't realize that you had counted 27 in one of the matches.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But I did know that it was ridiculous. Like, I know that span of time before AEW popped up and I started watching Impact, it was near impossible to watch his matches because of how often he did that. And I guess if you cut down to like two or three times in a match, like, I'm like, okay, this is bearable, instead of once every 15 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, get into the match, that's fine. You know, or if he's working tags, you can do it to each guy. All right, that's two. Near the end, of course, because that can be like the signifier for like, this is the end of the match.
Oh.
Or if he's going to go do something crazy. Like, okay, that makes sense, but just, yeah. Anyways. It was a good match. Like, I don't know. Did you see the opening match of AEW this week yet?
No, I haven't watched that. Because, honestly, I forgot. Just with the shift in days, I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. There was that Friday AEW show that we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we totally forgot. And then this week it was Saturday.
And that's why it made more sense. I'm like, oh, Tuesday to Saturday isn't that bad of a gap. And then when you have a power outage, shit happens. And outage, just so that people don't.
Well, it worked out. I mean, I got to watch all of NXT for a change straight through. And yeah, I'm just shifting to NXT because, I mean, Raw, main event of Raw was really good. He had a little bit of everything. Interference, Drew acting like a dick, which I still think he's going to turn heel eventually. It only makes sense. Before the NXT, that main event was good. I texted you, Kofi's fucking awesome. This stuff with him and MVP is just great. And I wish they would have had MVP around after Kofi won the title. And maybe we could have had a better Kofi Kingston title run, to where maybe he wouldn't have gotten squashed by Brock Lesnar?
I think he had a good run, but the end was so ignominious that it overshadowed him having the title for, 4 months?
It was whatever, WrestleMania to September. So what was that, April? April to September? 5 months? Yeah.
Five months?
Like, it seemed like that Randy Orton feud went on forever. That was like the majority of it seemed.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think Kofi had a bad run. Like, 5 months with the titles, a pretty nice run. No one, you know, there aren't that many people that get an over, you know, that's not quite half a year, but that's a pretty nice run. Because even that many people don't get 5 months, like Drew didn't have five straight months. He had the title two different times, but it was also broken up by that weird Randy Orton reign that's just almost forgotten about at this point.
Yeah, very true. That was such a weird thing to have happen, but yeah, no, I.
The ending was terrible, though, for Kofi.
Yeah, just awful. And especially if there was no rematch. Like, there was even like a hope for revenge in the Rumble. You know, when it was Ray,
yeah,
Kofi, and somebody else that was all feuding with Brock. and he got rid of all of them anyways. So, which of course, like, Brock Lesnar's a monster, so not to like go rehash old history now, but Lesnar is a legit monster, so it makes sense he ruined Kofi. Because Kofi is a smaller, much smaller man. He's going to get manhandled pretty quick, but I mean, we could have done something different. But anyways.
Yeah, smaller people. AJ Styles got more offense against Brock than Kofi did.
Yes.
And I mean, Kofi might look smaller, but I think he's also probably about 4 inches taller than AJ Styles, too.
Right. He just got that skinnier physique now.
Yeah.
So, but no, but he what he's, I almost said lacking, but he's made up for with his mouth, man. I mean, his stuff has been great.
Yeah.
It is actually, like, compelling TV when those two start going at each other. And he just flat out kicks MVP into another stratosphere, which we have to get to on NXT, by the way. And he starts talking, how about that, big boy? And I was like, whoa. Because you haven't really seen, like, we saw the smart-ass, you know, the heel part of New Day all those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But we really haven't seen, like, badass Kofi since he's been a face again. In the New Day. Like, even with Daniel Bryan, it wasn't that. It was like, there was a goal. I'm trying to achieve this. This is like a badass Kofi.
They played the respect card a lot with that feud, too. Daniel Bryan and Kofi. So, yeah, this is a whole new Kofi. Well, yeah. Maybe not new, but it's definitely a different part of him that... In another topic we hit a lot, they've done a good job of actually, you know, having some nuance to this feud and giving Kofi some edge while not having him completely be a heel either. Like,
yeah.
He's in a gray area, but you can also tell that he's supposed to be the baby face. Like, it's, yeah, they don't get that distinction right very much, but this stuff that they're doing with MVP and Kofi is certainly filling that lane that they think they're filling way more frequently than they really are.
Yeah, and I like it.
Yeah.
And the main event was just good. I mean, how wasn't it going to be? So, yeah, almost a 30-minute TV match that actually mattered, which was mind-blowing. A match that actually mattered got that much time, and it had, like, that end. Like, okay, wow. Look, when they actually do care about something, it can actually go off pretty well. So, yeah.
Honestly, Raw in general, I'm like, I kind of have, you know, maybe, because we were talking about it last week, and that's the way that I titled the show, like, are they saving it for the, you know, the real crowd? And I'm like, are they finally laying some groundwork to have some interesting shows now, you know, like, because this pay-per-view, this, what is it? Because is that this weekend? Or no, Money in the Bank's the next one up then, which is going to be in front of a crowd. Because, yeah, we're past Hell in a Cell now. So I'm like, oh, you know, even the Alexa Bliss stuff, one thing that I wanted out of them was to have some definition of what her powers were. And for whatever reason, they seem to be leaning on the hypnotizing end of things.
Yeah, because they can do that live.
Yeah.
Do you understand how colossally shit on this is going to be in front of a real crowd? I can't wait for the crowd to shit all over this.
You know,
because that's what's going to happen.
I felt like we might have said that about some stuff at WrestleMania, and then that didn't happen. So I'll wait to see, I guess, on this one. But it doesn't. it doesn't draw any interest from me because I don't understand. Again, like, it's a motivation thing. Like, why is Alexa Bliss, who has clearly been painted as a heel, picking on a heel tandem and the center of the women's division, Reginald? And now, why is she okay with Nikki Cross, who decided to dress up like an almost superhero and give herself possibly the stupidest nickname ever?
Well, do you know why that nickname exists? It actually has a historical part.
Remember
when Hurricane had Rosie? I think it was Rosie.
Uh-huh.
And Rosie was superhero in training.
Oh, yes.
And what is Nikki Cross, a superhero or almost superhero?
Yeah.
Because they can't put superhero in training? Yeah.
Why can't they use superhero in training?
Wait, what'd you say?
Why can't they use superhero in training?
Because you can't spell it out.
Oh.
S-H-I-T. I believe it was Rosie, but yes.
Oh, why? Okay, see, I whiffed on that one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But no, I love Nikki Cross. I don't dig this gimmick only because of how awesome she was in NXT. She was crazy awesome. And just hasn't been the same. But I guess this is her idea, so God bless her. I don't see it working. But people love Nikki Cross, though. So...
Yeah, it's
maybe this will be over more than...
Yeah, that one's a possibility that might work. I'm glad she got rid of the blue eyeliner underneath. But I do think that... is it a bandana? Like, I don't even know what you call that eye mask that she has on. That just seems uncomfortable to wrestle in. And it seems like it's going to cause a problem at some point or another.
Well, just imagine all these superhero movies where they have to wear it. They have to wear like a mask like that. Some of them are CGI. Most aren't.
But I'm trying to think. But who has... Like, Batman has, like... You know, like, that isn't what she's wearing. Like, I guess it need to be, like, a Green Lantern type of situation. I'm trying to think of what superhero has a mask like that. Because... Yeah, like, none of the Avengers I'd put in that category, I don't think, of that, you know, that particular style.
Yeah, it's true. Titans, if you watch Titans, Nightwing has one like that, but... Like, Robin, I guess, but that's Robin.
Well. Yeah, Robin would be on there. And I think it might be, too, just because, maybe it's because of her hair also, where Robin's, you could see, since he had, you know, kind of has short hair like me, where you can see it easily tying behind the back of his head. Like, I think she's almost got to wear it awkward because she has long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
The whole thing's just awkward to me. But, hey, the kids may love it. She's like a hyper nice person, I guess, in real life. And this is just, again, extending the personality. So, okay, go for it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what you want to do, go for it.
Yep.
So I mentioned it, but the first thing we got to talk about is... Poor Mercedes Martinez. Dude, I turned away. I was talking to Elise, or I was looking at my screen or something. I look back up, and like, it's just a close-up of Xia Li, and all of a sudden the bell rings. You go, what the hell just happened? So I rewound it, and I went, oh my God. So then I showed Elise, and she's like, what? I go, just watch Mercedes Martinez's head. when she hits the mat. And I go, she's out when she hits the mat. And then they show that replay three times. I'm like, no, no, no. She legitimately got kicked in the head. Like, full force spinning round kick, I think that is.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God. And I honestly can't remember seeing something like that before. You know? Where she just flat out kicks someone straight in the head and they fall. Like, no hands to brace themselves. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, she was... that was a legit KO. Like, obviously, it didn't last that... Either, A, she had instinct enough to... Because, I was a little bit surprised that they put that on YouTube, to be honest with you.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Because my recording didn't work.
Oh yeah.
Well, and I'm going to be getting a new cable provider here sometime this year, so we'll see what happens. Not by choice, but by WOW selling all of their customers to Atlantic Broadband.
Never heard of them.
A Canadian, so I'll have to say A at the end of every sentence now, eh? But, I saw one angle on Twitter this morning, and then I was watching the YouTube highlights, and I'm like, huh, I'm wondering if they're going to show this, and sure enough, it was a different angle. I'm like, oh, yeah, that didn't, like, both angles, I'm like, oh, you can tell how out she is. And then I couldn't believe that she had recovered enough to at least attempt a kick out. Like,
I think that's one of those, you're out on your feet, like she didn't know where she was. But she was reaching for the bottom rope. I think that's what was supposed to happen.
Oh, okay.
So she was still trying to follow, and then just rolls out, and I'm like, oh my God, and it just bell rings. I'm like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, I think the referee, because that's where they pretty much stopped it after the kick out, because like you said, they went to this tight shot. Like, I think the referee knew almost immediately, like, she got down to make the count, and she's like, oh, this isn't good. Like, you could kind of see the expression on her face going, oh boy.
Yeah, it was brutal.
I
couldn't believe that. I was like, God damn. You took a back kick. I mean, flush.
To the jaw.
Bracing yourself. Ugh. Well, I think she hit her more in the temple, didn't she? Which is usually the place, that's like the sweet spot, right? Temple and the back behind your ear. Like the two sweet spots.
Yeah, well, there are parts on the jaw, too. So I don't... Xia Li kind of caught all of the areas, pretty much, to turn the switch off. And, you know, whether... She was hurt enough that it was worth stopping that match. Like, there was there was no reason to have that thing go on.
And for her sake, no. Like, that, it just, it doesn't do any good.
Oh, no. Won't
advance the story. I mean, she's hurt. Like, no. That's, I guess they did take her to the hospital, all that stuff, to get her checked out. So, that's what they said, at least. So.
Yeah, I didn't see if there were any updates or not on her. Yeah, okay. So. Yeah, I would hope that you'd at least go to a hospital to confirm what I would expect would be a confirmation of a concussion. I hope that she's okay. Like that, that looked rough. Like I said, it just looked like a legit KO in an MMA fight. Like, cause that, you know, that, like you said, that wasn't a bump. There was no bracing. There was no nothing. She just went face plant into the mat, and oof, that was a rough one to watch.
Yeah, I'd say it was a bump for sure. But NXT, I thought, actually had a pretty solid show this week. Like, that kind of advanced. The Gargano and Killer, sorry, King Cross stuff, it was good. It was a little wonky because Karrion kept winning. And then he tried to run him over with a car. Wait a second. What are we doing? And the way they shot it, I was like, he's going to run him over. Like, obviously, they're going to show the car go boom, boom, like that. But then just seeing Joe there like a guardian angel, I'm like, okay. Wasn't the whole point of Joe coming in was that they were supposed to get, you know, get order back to everything? And it seems like it's the exact same thing, including him encouraging it for the most part.
Honestly, I thought that that was kind of hilarious during, and we can get into it later, but the whole Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly situation kind of made me chuckle. But yeah, this was another one where, I guess if you have some, there was at least some sense of order or of it not getting completely out of control. Although, you know, when you're trying to kill someone with a car door, I think that really should be, you know, the security guy should really step in at that point rather than after Karrion Kross puts Gargano to sleep. And
yes, I agree.
You know, it's, I'm going to enjoy the match. But this one is just, they, as much as I kind of enjoyed the segments, it did kind of get to that point where you're like, the crowd is clearly cheering for Gargano, yep. But then the fact that he's using distraction to have someone come in and attack Karrion Kross from behind, and I don't know why I just didn't say, oh, probably because I'm blanking on his name now. Austin Theory.
Yeah.
You know, he has Austin Theory jump him, and then he's the guy attacking Cross from behind again and cutting like a heel promo then after that before getting choked out. I'm like, okay, you guys are just putting this in a weird space again. Like, why are you guys doing this part of, this part of the angle? Like, that's kind of weird.
See, and the point, like, to go to your point, they were cheering Johnny in the Capitol Wrestling Center.
Yeah.
And then Johnny goes outside and attacks Karrion Kross again, and the audio sweetener is booing Johnny Gargano.
Oh.
And I'm like, what are they doing?
I missed that part.
Just stop it. Johnny's clearly in control. And then as soon as Karrion Kross comes back, it's kind of cheering again. It's like, cut it out. People don't want to boo Johnny Gargano because he's entertaining as hell. Karrion Kross is in a weird spot right now. Like, I don't know what he and Scarlett are.
Oh.
He's a badass. There's no way around it. But, okay, there's a bunch of those.
Well, that and... She's superfluous at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he's done almost all of his own talking. And during this whole segment, she didn't try to stop Gargano at all. Like, there wasn't any type of, like, don't beat up my husband kind of... Like, there was almost no reaction. I'm like... This is just kind of weird that you're just kind of there. Like, I guess she did do some screaming, but just does not seem like the reaction that you're going to have when your husband's being slammed into a car door multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just that's weird. I liked it, though, because it's kind of a weird feud.
Huh.
Like, okay.
It continues the series of Karrion Kross weird feuds that started when he came back and is just continuing to roll on.
So that I still liked it. The Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole stuff was fine. It was just fine to me. Joe kind of helped it, but whatever. So that really didn't get me going to see another match between the two, because I honestly don't care about Kyle O'Reilly. Like, when he was the cool, goofy tag team guy that was playing air guitar, I was all for it. I'm not buying this. Like, I don't know why. It's not resonating with me at all.
I've always liked O'Reilly more, but it's been pretty clear, both in ROH and in NXT, that Adam Cole is valued more highly. I don't understand, since he looks like a sickly child, but he talks better on the mic, and that always plays better in the WWE.
Yeah. You will never be able to take it away from Adam Cole. Never.
And I guess I feel like O'Reilly's done a pretty decent job, but there are no stakes for this. And
no, that's the other problem. There is literally no stakes. But bragging rights? Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, as a fan, I don't care. So, and especially like that other one, that was a no DQ match, right? Or a street fight? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, there is some type of stipulation.
Yeah, and this is just a regular match. What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's very odd to me.
Yeah, I definitely don't like that part. Like, I liked the promos, and I did think, like I said, like, I thought it was pretty funny that Joe's, like, selectively enforcing his policies. I guess I'm okay with him being a little bit biased and letting things kind of go. But it was kind of fun that A, security actually stopped two guys that were, like, a third of their size from attacking each other. So security actually got to do their job for once with Samoa Joe around, instead of being beaten up by two vanilla midgets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but no, it's like that stuff was good. The opening tag match, the triple threat.
Oh yeah.
Shotzi did a dive and didn't actually come down in position to kill herself. That was pretty nice. That was the cleanest dive she's ever done in NXT.
Yeah, it might have helped that there were like four people there to catch her rather than just one.
Well, it also helped. Wasn't Ember holding the ropes open for her as well?
Yes.
Yeah, so she didn't have to like worry too much about, you know, catching her feet. I really enjoyed this match, though. I was sad to see Dakota take the pin again. I'm just not a fan of this Zoe Stark person. I don't care about her. Or Zoe Starks, excuse me. Like, who cares?
Yeah, since I had to watch the YouTube version, I guess I can't officially say, but I kind of at least got from the highlights, I'm like, so you're just along for the ride? Is kind of the vibe that I got. Like, not that you're going to make her an equal of Io Shirai, but, like, I feel like she kind of needs to pull her weight in this tag team. And
yeah,
I really didn't get the impression that she was doing that in this match, since she seemed to be doing a lot of the selling for the match. So it's just like, again, I guess that's another one where I kind of want, like, why did Io Shirai just go, oh, yep, you're my new tag team partner?
Yeah. And Io goes, I don't like you, but I respect you. Like, well, why wouldn't you like her? That's kind of a weird thing to say. Like, you don't know her.
Oh.
But I was like, whatever, just let it go. But it was like, she has to carry the mic for both women. Zoe Starks does.
Oh, yeah. And
she's okay. But that's it. I mean, not when you're talking like Dakota, who can talk really well. Candace especially, but she wasn't there. But if you got Ember and Shotzi doing their weird speech cadence they do now. So.
Yeah, like, they're both unique and hard to compare to anyone.
Right, yes, exactly. And that's why, like, Shotzi's been getting looks from the main roster.
Oh.
So, yeah, because it was, all right, so this is kind of goes to, like, the end of the show. Can we both agree Cameron Grimes is losing to LA Knight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why would he win that match? As much as I like Cameron Grimes about 12 times more than LA Knight, he is not winning that match, because you don't win the... If you want to try to make anything out of the $1 million title, LA Knight needs to keep on winning.
Yeah. It's like, why bother? Like, why if Cameron Grimes wins the first match back, like, why do you even do any of the other stuff? Like, it seems kind of silly, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they make Cameron... Yeah, Cameron Grimes, the modern-day Virgil, I guess, for a little bit.
No.
You know, have that go for a month or so, something goofy like that. But, what else happened on NXT? Oh, the Diamond Mine...
Yeah, useful squash match. I feel like we were talking about those last week.
Yeah, but why didn't they get a chance to talk? Like, why are you guys together? Roderick quit.
Oh.
And now he's back. Like, there's like, oh, Roderick, here's Roderick back after a little break or whatever. I'm like, he quit. It wasn't a break. He resigned. Or retired, whatever it was. So, I can't remember who did Roderick go against. I forgot.
Asher Hale.
Oh, that's actually Anthony Henry from here. He used to be a PWX around here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's. I thought he was retiring, and then all of a sudden. The rumor started going around here that, no, he signed NXT. We're like, what? Okay, he's a pretty good wrestler. So I thought that was cool that they gave him Roderick Strong like that. So.
Yeah, because they didn't even get, like, usually when I do the YouTube version of the shows, it's kind of nice because they throw in a couple of the backstage interviews that don't make it to TV. And the Diamond Mine didn't even get anything like that.
Yeah, it's very strange to me. Like, they make this big deal, Diamond Mine's coming, blah, blah, blah. They have a Roderick Strong match, which was good, the end. Malcolm Bivens, Diamond Mine, commercial. Like, what? It almost, they should have had them debut after Great American Bash. Make more of an impact, I guess.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's too soon for them to really have anything more than, well, hold on, this is just going to be a TV special, though, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could still be on Great American Bash, because I'd imagine that they're going to string this thing out over 2 weeks. But still, it doesn't really give them much of a feud, and... You know, you don't even know how they're going to do it. Is it just going to be three singles wrestlers? Are Rust and Suzuki going to be a tag team together?
I don't know. No idea. And that's what we need to know. We need to know what the hell's going on. So.
Yeah, they needed at least a follow-up backstage or even in-ring promo to kind of establish what's going on there.
Yeah. But Malcolm Evans is on TV more. Good. I always liked Roderick Strong, even though it seems like he's been around for 20 years. But he's only, what, 34? Something ridiculous.
Well, and I keep on laughing. I always think back to, there was this time in ROH where they were talking about him being the most conditioned wrestler, and he just looked out of shape by Roderick Strong standards.
Oh, today's standards? Like, Roderick Strong today? Yeah.
Well, and even before that, like, he kind of ended up getting himself back into shape there in ROH before moving to NXT. But who doggies, he really looked like he put on 5 to 10 pounds of muscle between between appearances on NXT TV.
Yeah, and it'd be good. He used to be a chunkier guy, which is funny because now he is in tremendous shape. But
oh yeah,
yeah. So, but yeah, but I'm trying to think what else was on NXT before we get to the like. Well, we had the face off with MSK and Thatcher and Ciampa.
Yeah,
which I cannot wait for this match.
Yeah, that's the only other thing that we haven't gotten to other than the main event.
Yeah. This is going to be the best match of the night. I honestly think that. I don't think there's a chance anything else will be better. That's with all the other stuff that's on the card.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really set, you know, they set some pretty easy stakes. Challengers, champs. Champs aren't respected because they haven't been around a long time. You know, the champs are, you know, just saying, hey, we're the champs, so fuck off. And, yeah, I mean, I like it. Simple premise, easy way to go. And, yeah, I like everyone involved in this process. MSK has been... They were one that's happy they got away from Impact since I don't watch it. Because they're both really, really good wrestlers. And it'll be kind of interesting to see if they ever try to break them up at some point since the WWE tends to do that.
Yeah, like Thatcher and Ciampa are just like placeholding right now because they don't really know what to do with Ciampa.
Yeah.
But yeah, MSK, I don't know. They're not, neither of them are like huge. So just stay in NXT.
always
pay more, stay in NXT. Don't move.
Yeah, always a good solution if you can get it. So yeah, I don't know. Not a lot to talk about with that one. But yeah, I guess it finally is main event time though.
Okay. I make no secret of it. I'm a huge Shane Strickland, Isaiah Swerve Scott fan.
Yeah.
He's been awesome forever. When he won last night, I legitimately was like, oh my God, he won. Like, I did not see that coming because that was really good. And the bump of the night, though, when Top Dollar went through the barrier... That's not a small man. And he blew through the grass and the fence. Now, I think they may have had a crash pad back there, which I'm not complaining about, which I kind of hope they do.
Right.
I mean, they were going out. That was awesome.
Yeah, he was sprinting. And he really, like, I mean, he completely airballed on hitting... Bronson Reed at all, and did a great flip dive through the glass and fence.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my gosh, dude, like, you just did that to yourself. Like, yeah, that's like one of those, he was a literal stuntman in that moment.
Yeah. And then, he got followed up by, was it Ashante?
Yeah.
He gets thrown on top of it, basically. So you just went blew through the thing, and also you got another man landed on you. Like, that was crazy. It made Bronson Reed look strong as hell. I mean, it really did.
Yeah.
And also, like, those bumps were fucking nuts, man. And then...
Yes.
But, and you're like, well, here, Bronson Reed's eliminated both of them. Here we go. Boom. No, he doesn't. The end. And I was like, what?
Yeah, and I love that. That is definitely what it's just like, okay, they didn't directly cost him the match, but you know, it's one of those, at least reminds me a little bit of Drew McIntyre taking his eye off the ball at WrestleMania and it cost him the match. You know, Bronson Reed took his eye off the prize just long enough that Swerve took advantage and won the championship. And it's just like perfect, man. Yeah, like, unfortunately, the WWE does interference finishes entirely too much, but I think that one was well set up and well executed, and really didn't involve too much, you know, like, all Bronson Reed does is toss Ashante onto Top Dollar. And so, yeah, there wasn't much physical interaction, so you're not like, oh, groan, like, obviously, because what was it, Ashante the one that brought him off the top, brought Reed off the top rope, or did Top Dollar do that?
I think it was Ashante.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah. Top Dollar kind of distracted the ref by jumping up first, and then Ashante was the one that did the pushing. So there was a little physical interaction, but Reed had the time to bounce back into the match. And, yeah, like you said, like, with Main Event getting the likes of Bronson Reed on there, and the fact that that guy has been, I guess I did not realize this until they started mentioning when he won the North American Championship, that he's been wrestling for 14 years now. It's just like, oh, yeah, like, the main roster could use more bodies, and unfortunately, I still don't have a whole lot of faith in Vince McMahon to treat him any better than Piper Niven, honestly.
Yeah. But, of the Hit Row people, what is the woman's name?
Oh, I always forget it. Because she's another one where B-Fab.
Okay, all right. But I'm not like criticizing or anything. I don't really have much to say about her. Other than I never remember her name. And then, is she a wrestler as well, or is she just part of the group? Which I'm not even saying she has to wrestle.
Oh,
I take that. You know.
Yeah, her main fault has just been the fact that she hasn't gotten much time one way or the other. Like, she's gotten some time to talk, but yeah, you don't quite know what her purpose is currently. Just to hang her on, or she just hasn't gotten a chance to wrestle yet.
Yeah, which we could be surprised too. I don't know. I haven't done too much research into them because I'm just enjoying the group, you know?
Oh.
And now Shane's the champion. Or, sorry, Isaiah's the champion. Then the North American champion.
And
I wonder if this is it for Bronson Reed.
I think so.
Yeah, like, it seems like it.
Even with my feeling like there's imminent disappointment for him on the main roster, like it seems tailor-made for him to go up. Like, he doesn't really need to win the NXT championship to go up. And Swerve seems like the right guy to have the championship right now with the new group, and you're trying to establish it. Honestly, if MSK beats, well, and they should beat Ciampa and Thatcher, you can have them lose then to Top Dollar and Ashante the Adonis. And then you got a solid gold stable for the most part. Like, because I'd be surprised if B-Fab is up to women's championship potential that quickly. So I don't think they're going to have all four draped in gold, but who knows? I suppose it's a possibility.
And I'd say this, that if she was on SmackDown or Raw, I think she'd have a better champion, better chance of having a title run. NXT, you're not getting that. Like, you're just not. There's far too many women.
Yeah.
And you can't book. Like, I'm not saying she does. We don't even know if she wrestles. We already established that. But
right.
You can't be average. So,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, because this was a small one, but I couldn't believe that Saray popped on for that short appearance with William Regal. I'm
Yes.
like, oh my God, I forgot that they had her.
And Toni Storm. Which is saying something if you forget Toni Storm's on NXT. Like, you know, she mentioned her, is what I mean.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But it's like, oh my God, that's right. Toni Storm didn't even make an appearance, did she?
Yeah, and it's been a couple of weeks for Toni Storm, I feel like, since she's made an appearance. So yeah, she was definitely in the same boat as Saray, and it's just like, oh, that's kind of rough when you're kind of, next big signing from Japan gets a few weeks off, and so does Toni Storm. That is one deep
Yeah.
women's division.
Yes, and like they constantly brag they have the best women's division in the world. I'm like, yeah, you do. Like I know AEW's getting better. Overall, I think they may have the best women's champion. AEW.
Oh.
I mean, promo wise, no one's beating Britt Baker right now. There's no chance. Skill wise, I don't know. I guess maybe there's better wrestlers, but not complete package.
Yeah, her mic skills put her above pretty much anyone currently going Britt Baker, but yeah, they like you said, like AEW, their depth is still lacking quite a bit from compared to NXT's. I like Thunder Rosa. Chris Statlander to me is still a little bit of a open book. Like I know that I see a lot of people praising her, but I've also only seen her in like three matches. And I'm not gonna like say that she's a great wrestler after three matches, you know?
Yeah, she had that initial run, and then I think was she the Nyla Rose,
Yeah, I think so.
or was it Sheeta? One of the two. Like she was, hot shit, up and coming, and then she lost, and then she got hurt. So, but it was like it wasn't something that was an AEW was pulling the trigger on stuff way too quick. So. Like the Statlander, I can't remember who it was, should have waited. Like, there's nothing wrong with like making someone wait a little bit, but it was like she got hot for a few weeks. Now it's time. It's like, well, no,
No.
you don't want her to lose already. So,
Right.
yeah, but whatever. Like AEW's women's division's gotten better. There's no way around it.
Oh,
I'm
no.
very curious what happens with now Miss Ruby Soho, which I don't mind that name at all.
Yeah, aside from the fact that I don't like the band that plays that song, it's great.
Yeah, well, see, I do, so you can eat it. So, I like the older stuff. The new stuff's been like, yeah. But,
Yeah.
what other woman got released? I cannot remember. Oh, Lana. That seems pretty obvious where she's going. Yeah.
What's her? Ruby Soho would work out well in AEW, I think. But there's still got to be a limit on how many people AEW can take in.
See, I actually think she should be doing Impact. I
Oh.
think it'd be a better fit. But of course, you go where the money is, duh.
Yeah,
But I think currently, like Ruby Soho would be better to go to Impact. Lana seems destined, as she should, to go to AEW to re-team up with God's favorite wrestler. Which, by the way, I absolutely love what Miro's doing right now. He's God's redeemer. God gives him all his power. He's like one of those psychopaths. That's what he is. It's awesome.
it's much better than the best man.
Oh yeah, yes.
So yeah, I'm enjoying it, Because, and he does keep on bringing up his smoking hot wife, so it's would be pretty weird not to bring her in now that she's available.
I remember when he first did the first like praise God promo, and I'm like, what's he doing? It didn't make any sense. He goes, I just want to thank God for giving me the strength for these muscles and for my incredibly hot wife. And I'm like, what's going on here? And now, what's he calling himself? Whoa.
I don't know.
Yeah, the hockey game on. That was fucking. That just took my train of thought on it. Wow.
Oh, no. I flipped to watch the end of the main event there.
Okay. The second goal is beautiful. But, with the God, he is God's Redeemer.
God's favorite wrestler or something like that.
Yeah, but he says he's God's Redeemer as well. So it's like that delusional, like, psycho horror movie villain.
Oh. You know,
it's pretty cool. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that. Wow. What a goal. 0.3 seconds on the clock. Good gravy.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, the whole him being an obnoxious god guy is pretty hilarious. So, and again, like, he has the size to be a dominant champion in that company.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like they could have a long run in store for him, and he could finally, I mean, I was certainly worried that he just had tapped out of wrestling when he first came into AEW.
It did seem that way, didn't it?
Yeah, that, again, like, I think all of us are like, well, he's more worried about being a Twitch streamer than being a wrestler at this point. And it finally feels like he wants to be a wrestler again, which is nice. Like, it's, yeah, it's one of those things that needed to happen. Like, you know, like, what's the point of signing him if he's not going to be at least somewhere near that Rusev Day / Killer Rusev level and not the stuff in between? So, yeah, he is enjoyable as all hell.
Which is, what a great turnaround. And the other thing that I'm starting to really, Kenny Omega, like, he's going to run through everybody. And I'm trying to figure out if it's going to be, when it's going to be him versus Hangman. Because wasn't it, I think it was Saturday when he beat Hobbs. I think he's the number one contender again. I think.
It seemed to be. I did not hear the. I did not hear the promo on the show this week, but there was something involved with him in the Dark Order, and I would imagine it involves him being the number one contender.
Okay. Because I think I told you, I'm being the Elite last week, they did a bunch of cocaine.
And oh, yes.
Accidentally. And that was his, staring at like the AEW title. And this week, they asked him what he saw. He's like, I don't remember. Like, he clearly does, but he just won't tell him.
Oh.
So, for whatever reason, he won't. So,
yeah.
But it seems like, all right, we're gearing up for that. And I know September is what? All in? What was the first pay per view called? All Out.
Yeah.
All In.
Well, All In.
That's September. Yeah, that's 2 years to the date. So I'm wondering if maybe they're building up to that, which I don't think that's the right time. As dumb as that sounds, and it maybe seems like dragging it out, but it just seems like Paige has got to start reestablishing now.
Well, and I think they've taken enough time off. You know, I think they've done a good job of reestablishing him. Like, he was a little bit too much of a goofball. He was too much of an alcoholic.
Yeah.
To be, like, if he wanted to be a comedy guy and be the alcoholic wrestler, cool. But you can't be the alcoholic wrestler in the main event. Like, it's okay to enjoy a beverage every now and again. Full-blown alcoholism in the main event is pretty weird.
Well, they named Steve Austin, apparently. So.
But they never played him like an alcoholic, though. You know what I mean? Like, he drank after the match, but he wasn't drinking during all of his promos. He wasn't drinking any time they showed him backstage. Like, when, you know, most of his famous sketches, he wasn't drinking. He was just brawling somewhere. You know, whether it was, like, he wasn't drinking when he attacked Vince McMahon in the hospital. He wasn't,
I'm with you.
He wasn't drinking when he attacked Booker T in the supermarket. You know, like, Adam Page, I almost called him Adam Cole. Adam Page would have been drinking in those situations. Like, it was a problem. So, but anyway, they've done a great job of reestablishing him as a serious wrestler and as a singles wrestler for the most part, too. Because they had, who was he teaming with for a little bit there?
I don't remember.
Or was he just, the people, everyone was recruiting him for their group is what was going on. And I feel like he wrestled a lot of tag team matches in that phase. Because who was someone, did a Dark Order recruit him first, and then he blew them off, and then Matt Hardy tried to recruit him, and he blew him off, and then he went back to Dark Order? Or was there someone else in there that I can't remember that was trying to recruit him for their group?
Well, they were trying to recruit him. And then when he was going through all those problems with the Elite, jointhedarkorder.com or whatever? But they had all these emails. And Uno never went through them all. So this is when Brody Lee was still around. Or alive, excuse me. I was trying not to say that, so.
Yeah.
Heyman said he actually ran into Brody Lee, like they were talking. And he goes, "Well, yeah, I tried joining your group, but no one ever returned my email." I goes, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, hey, have fun with your pervy cult, man." And he goes, "What the fuck?" And that's where the throwing the paper stuff started.
Oh, okay.
Because he goes, "We had fucking Hangman," like he just kept berating Uno. And then they were kind of friends because they were still trying to recruit him and all this other stuff. Yeah, that was the beginning of it. So it's hard to believe Brody Lee hasn't even been gone a year.
That was this year, was it not?
It was actually December 27th, I believe.
Oh, okay.
27th or 26th, like.
Okay, so basically it's just been this year then.
Yeah. 6 months, basically.
Okay.
That's nuts.
And it's pretty wild. So, but yeah, they've reestablished Paige as a legit threat in the singles division in the meantime, after all of that stuff happened. So, nothing with Kenny Omega has been good in the meantime. And at least they'll have a story with Paige and Omega to go off of. But, I mean, at this point, you kind of, they've started to make a big deal out of the title reign length for Omega. B, if Paige doesn't win this time, he starts to get into that weird Roman Reigns area where slash Braun Strowman territory, where he's, you know, gotten to the big match so many times, but then lost it every time that it's hard to recover from. So, like, if that's the way they end up going, like, to me, you really need to go with Paige as champion after that. And, but I don't know what you do with Omega's character. I guess he gets more unhinged, which is going to be completely unpleasant because it's a terrible unhinged currently. So,
yeah, I'm just not digging this thing. The Young Bucks. Wait till you see him this week. You just go,
oh,
douchebags. Just douches.
As much as there are times where I'm like, I can't say I dislike them or like hate them, but like they're just never going to be my favorite at all. Like if you're going to ask me to rank tag teams, I'm not going to probably even put them in. They might make number 10 or something like that. But them leaning into their own douchebaggery is because I'm looking at them right now as we're wrapping this thing up or coming close to it. And oh my gosh, Nick Jackson with the dyed dark goatee is so over the top. And Matt going with the mustache instead of something, instead of the beard. Cause yeah, he usually has a beard going on. And I think that, yeah, they've done a good job too of just their style that they've brought out. I'm like, it's everything that makes me want to vomit on someone's outfit. But, you know, hey, if that's the reaction you're getting out of me, good on you. Like, it's really hard to get me to legitimately dislike it, but they are really just kind of leaning into the slimeball douchebaggery angle, and it's great. Yeah, because even Matt is wearing the necklace right now in the ring, which is just kind of obnoxious. I've got to admit, like right now, their character work is a lot of fun. So good on them.
Like they're the exact opposite of Omega. Like the unhinged thing doesn't work, while their douchebag part does, because that's what they used to do.
Oh, so. Yeah. I think that's the other thing that might help them. They basically modernized their gimmick, you know, updated it to today instead of when they were doing it. Probably like they've probably been wrestling like 15 years now.
Yeah.
But, cause I don't even want to say they were that douchebaggy when they were in, the Bullet Club, because that was more, they had almost established them more as badasses in the Bullet Club in serious wrestlers. So it had to have been like even pre-New Japan times the last time they were running this gimmick. So yeah, that kind of leaves a few years in between then and now. So yeah, good on them again. Anything else to talk about before wrapping up?
I think that about covers it. Real quick, we were going for a while. Did you like Fast 9? I'm just curious. I know it's kind of a loaded question.
It was enjoyable as all hell. I feel like the storyline, I guess talking about leaning into things, like I feel like a lot of people were like, what, are they going to go into outer space next? And they're like, yeah, motherfuckers, we're going into outer space this time.
Yeah, oh, spoiler alert, just in case. Sorry. Oh, well. It doesn't ruin it. If you don't understand what's going to happen in the beginning of the movie, when they have that they have the scene where they meet Luke, like, I can't remember what his name was, the character was, but they meet Lucas Black from Tokyo Drift, Bow Wow again, and then the other guy who I forgot about, and these crazy scientist people. If you don't understand where the end of the movie is going, then you're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah. They telegraphed that from about 10 minutes into the move. Yeah, into the movie, the whole way through the payoff. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, I feel like storyline-wise, it got a little... It's to that point where you kind of have a hard time maintaining the bad guy character, or like they seem from like five on, they've seemed to keep on ratcheting up the stakes. And at some point you're like, okay, we can't really ratchet up the stakes anymore. And that movie kind of had a bit of that to me. In it, and I also really didn't like the fight scenes at the beginning. I don't know if it's a Justin Lin thing, but they all felt like they were being filmed 2 foot from the fight actually happening, and it gave you absolutely no context as to what was actually happening in the fight.
Yeah, I texted you, it's not the dumbest movie I've ever seen. Like, Triple X Xander, Return of Xander Cage is the dumbest movie I've ever seen. And I've seen a ton of movies in my life. That movie is such an ego masturbation. It's enjoyable. Like, we were at Isle of Palms last year. Like, I told everyone, we have to watch this. Trust me. This movie is fucking bonkers. And they're like, we don't want to see this. I'm like, just... Dude, trust me, he skis off a cell phone tower, fucks a girl, and leaves her his skateboard as a token of his appreciation. And like, no way. I'm like, watch. He takes down a cell tower so this small fishing village can watch soccer. Girl gets all horny and wet for it, fucks her, leaves the skateboard behind. It says, think of me or something. And I'm like, this is the first 5 minutes of this movie? And it just goes on. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, yeah. No, you're describing it accurately.
Yeah. I mean, and then once, like, literally one, like, scene changes from nighttime to daytime.
Oh, I guess I didn't notice that.
Yes. All right. So one, when they go to the super secret island that no one can find of all criminals, but they just plow right up to it.
Yeah, they find it in 5 seconds, yeah.
And it's like, what? And then, you know, the other people who can never find the island find the island, and they're all fighting. They're on the jet skis. It's dark. All of a sudden, they go out to the ocean, and it's daytime. And I'm like, what? That's not how a sunrise works. And then I just went, well, Jesus, Xander Cage, just raised up the sun. You know, so that's what he can do. And it is so dumb. It's an absolutely joy to watch. Absolute joy to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And then Fast 9 is pretty stupid. They even made fun of the fact, like, we have all these fights and these adventures. And, was it Roman?
He's like,
man, there's not a scratch on me. He's like, I got bullet holes in my arm. Not a scratch. Because I'm like, that scene where Roman is surrounded by all the guys, and he's just firing his unwilling Nelly. All of them get shot and killed. And I went, oh, someone's helping. No.
Oh.
This is how it happened. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was waiting for them to show a sniper or something like that.
Yes.
But nope. Not the case. Oh, man. Yeah.
There's so many dumb things in this movie. Like, of course, the guy turns on John Cena. And then Cypher, of course, is just using them, and she's in some weird place, or she just walks off, like, okay. John Cena does all this horrible stuff, then out of the blue, for no reason, decides, I need to help everybody. They let him drive off. Like, wait, what?
I think that they established why he helped. If I'm going to try not to spoil things any more than I have already, I will leave it at that. If I'm going to go into full
spoilers, that's fine. If you're still listening to this, that's your fault. So, what are you talking about?
They established, to me, they did a decent enough job, like, of setting up that Dom had misinterpreted what had happened to their dad. That Dom had, you know, deemed John Cena, is it Jake?
Jacob,
yeah. You know, Dom had blamed Jacob for their father's death for X number of years, and, like, I felt like there was enough established that they, you know, that he realized that, you know, Dom had fucked up. I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, Dom didn't know the full story, so he kind of shit on Jacob, and, yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be a family coming together kind of moment, because I'm just like, okay, John Cena's in this universe now, right? Like, he's going to probably pop up in the next one to help them out.
Apparently Cardi B is going to be in the next one as well. And if you're wondering who she was, she was the retarded-sounding woman that was in the police van with Dom.
Yes.
I'm going, who is this? Like, okay. I understand they always try to get, like, you know, the hot artist or whatever, right? And this is supposed to come out last year, so.
Oh. But right.
You're watching the dailies of this. You're watching this as this is unfolding. If you're Justin Lin, aren't you trying to come up with a way to put that on the cutting room floor? That was awful.
She was very marble mouthed. I honestly did not I was like, I guess I knew. It was funny because we took our nephew to it, and he turned. He said something to the wife about that being Cardi B, and she's like, "Who's she? And why does she talk like an idiot?"
Yeah, well, because she's not that smart. I mean, probably the first part, but she's rich. There's a lot of dumbass people who are rich, by the way. So that's not an actual indicator of how smart you are. So.
There's a difference between being smart and being rich. Sometimes they are in the same sentence, but I'm not going to question necessarily her intelligence, but whew, boy, that that was just one of those ones where I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, I knew who it was because I at least recognized her face. But, I wouldn't have guessed that she's going to be in the next one. Like, although they did give her an awful lot of dialogue for someone who was, one literal scene?
Yes. A lot of dialogue for someone who can't act. Who cares if she's in one scene? Jesus. Ugh.
Well, that one scene felt like it was 3 hours, so.
It was like, okay, whatever. But, like, that stuff I can't get by. Well, like, everything else I can. I mean, they're in a Pontiac Fiero? Is that who made that Pontiac,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, Pontiac
Fiero.
They're
in space in a Pontiac Fiero. Like, okay. And that's what I would say with these movies, that either you just accept things or don't watch them. The whole cable on the wheel or the axle. That would just rip the axle off the car. We all know that. Just go, I want to see how this ends. So please don't make this real.
I think that's... I think what kills me is they're always, these Fast and Furious movies, they're always like, oh, we just do all of our own practical effects. Like, we've really done this or that. And I'm like, no, you haven't, because nothing would survive that.
There is almost nothing that would survive.
You know, like, because what? Someone's trying to tell. Like, I know that they maybe actually dropped cars out of, because which one was it? Six? Yes. Was it six that they dropped into the mountains?
Yes, that was real. Those are real cars. That's crazy.
But the car wouldn't have actually survived the landing.
No, that's real.
Oh, they actually survived the landing and were still drivable?
Yes, they tested it out. And they finally, like, they finally had it figured out and all that stuff. Yeah. That's crazy, dude. Like,
but, well, I don't know. I guess then, to me, if you're basing, in some ways, your whole series off of, hey, we do real stunts, like, none of those stunts were real.
Oh, and
I do think it's been pretty, I do think it's been pretty established that trajectory wise, they would not have been able to make the Dubai Tower leap.
No, no, they wouldn't have been able to escape a minefield in this one.
Oh, let's just because
backwards, Kevin. Let's deal with the absurdity of this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, that did kind of go back. And again, like you said it, they kind of established, like, Roman talking about all the ridiculous stuff. And they're like, oh, all we got to do is go 80 and then we can outrun the landmines, because it's going to, they talked about the trigger delay and everything. They tried to cover their asses as best they could to have an enjoyable movie.
That's the thing with these. They're enjoyable as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I've had this discussion, and I'm being dead serious right now. That is an Oscar-worthy movie. And I know everyone, what? No, it's not. It's a stupid car movie. The entire idea of this movie, or these movies, or any big action movie or big war movie, something like that, blows the fucking doors off of, I'm trying to think what, I don't really watch, but like, what movies have come out, like, who's won the Academy Award lately?
Oh.
Like, for Best Picture.
You are asking the wrong man.
Jesus Christ. I used to know this stuff all the time. Let's see here. The Best Picture, we'll do 2019. Because 2020 doesn't count, so.
Fair enough.
Oh, no. 2020 would be fine. It'd be 2021. It'd be this year that they were just like, whatever.
Oh.
So.
True.
All right, let's see. So, let's see. We have. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, Green Book? I forgot that won the Academy Award. Okay. All right, let's see what was nominated for Best Picture in 2019. Let's see. Black Panther was nominated for an Oscar. For Best Picture. Oh, this isn't the full list. What the fuck are you talking about?
Riveting at the end of the show here. I thought it'd be easy for you to find a list.
Okay, so, yeah, you'd think, right? So, nominated for 2020. Ford versus Ferrari, which I've not seen.
Oh, that was fun.
Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, whatever that is, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite. 1917 should have won immediately. The amount of coordination, stunts, cinematography, acting that has to go into a movie like that blows all these other movies away, except for Ford versus Ferrari. And everyone, what about story? Okay, yes, a good story. But it's an overall piece of art. An action movie with giant set pieces blows the fucking doors off of Jojo Rabbit. Hands down. I mean, Jojo Rabbit didn't win. This Parasite movie won, which I have not seen. But I will guarantee you, 1917 is a bigger movie than Parasite is.
Oh.
Much harder to direct, much harder to coordinate, much harder to film, much harder to act for. Hands down, plain and simple. I will say, acting-wise, no, story, eh. But putting a movie like Fast 9 together is a far harder job than making something, whatever fuck Marriage Story is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The bigger the set piece, especially knowing that Fast 9 uses real stunts. Now, I'm sure not all of them were, but they are practical. Right there. Mad Max, Fury Road, that should have won Best Picture.
Oh.
That was all real effects. There was no CGI in that movie.
Yeah.
That is insanity.
Yeah, that was badass.
Yeah, I love that movie. But I am tired of these stupid Green Book. Go fuck yourself. The white guy teaching a black guy how to be black. You fucking morons. Get out of here. But that's not exactly what the movie supposedly about. It is. So he teaches him how to eat chicken wings. Well, you out of your fucking mind? So anyways.
Yeah, I heard enough of that before even thinking about watching that movie to not watch it.
Yeah, and it's the bad thing is I like Viggo Mortensen. I was like, God, you gotta pay attention, dude. Like, what are you doing? But he also won an Academy Award for being in the movie, so. Oh no, what are you watching?
That weirdo Tony Schiavone just staring in the background at the camera is Ethan Page is cutting a promo.
We need to bring up the AEW announcers on the next show. We'll be back next week, right?
Yeah.
It's the week after is dicey. Okay.
Yeah.
So will be, I will.
Yeah, hopefully I will have power on Tuesday and we will record like normal.
Yeah, I keep forgetting we don't leave until next Friday. God damn it. Sooner we leave the better. I'm ready for a vacation, so
I'm gonna need a vacation for my vacation, so
yeah, so I've heard. So
but anyway, did not have the Bell Time beer tonight. Had it last night because it was ready to go before the power went out. And I'm going to talk about it anyway. Collaboration between Gristhouse Brewing, one of my favorites in the fine city of Pittsburgh, and Good Work Brewing in Duluth, Georgia, which I guess I was a little bit surprised by, like the kind of the long distance collabs I do not feel like happen as much these days. It's usually, you know, two of the local places getting together. But anyway, it was a dark Czech lager. I definitely have not been a lager fan for the most part, and definitely not something that is very pilsnery. Since Budweiser was based off of a Czech Pilsner, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah.
But this one was fantastic, man. Like, the little bit of roasted malt in there to make it a dark lager really kind of gave it a nice little dimension to it. And, just a really good, easy... I have gotten into some more of the lighter, easier to drink beers in the summer the last couple of years. And this one kind of fits that bill. Like, I don't know if I want to have that in December. But right now, when I didn't have any power and I was just sitting out in my sunroom, perfect beer for like 90 degree weather.
Oh, weird for dark, that's for sure.
So, it's not that heavy as far as a dark beer goes. Like, I don't know if you've ever had, like, a blonde stout. Like, it's almost that level of kind of roasted maltiness. It's darker than that in Keller, but it has about the same roasted malt level.
All right. Well, mine was, it's called Things We Don't Say. It's a hazy IPA from Divine Barrel. One of the most unheralded, heralded, There's no tea. Okay, cool. One of the most unheralded breweries in town. We often say we're very thankful they're on the other side of town. We have to drive.
Oh.
Because if they moved over here with Lower Left, Sugar Creek, and Red Clay, oof, it'd be a messy time for in the Mays household. So, yeah. It's really good, though. It's just your basic, it's a nice basic hazy IPA. Like, not a whole lot of frills. It's basic for mental health. It's I don't know, not a tribute. Basically to help, like, people talk about, you know, mental health problems. If you need help, reach out, that sort of stuff. So,
gotcha.
It's pretty cool. I just read the can. That's how I found out. I just thought it tasted good. So, hey, when you get a draft, you don't get a rundown. So,
yeah, you don't get all the info that they throw in the cans.
No.
Okie doke. That was the recommendation from at Granny Mays. My recommendation at DeFrango11. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts under the at Stunt Granny brand. And you can download us at Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and a whole bevy of other places. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.